Would open up your Bibles to Genesis. We are in the 30th chapter. Genesis chapter 30. If you will bear with me just a minute, I'll get us up to this point. But you know, we began to study some time back in the very beginning of this book, the book of beginnings, the book of origins. We realized that God created everything. And everything God created, He created perfect. But man fell, man sinned, and through that sin, there was a curse. You know, and God made that promise in chapter 3 that I will send the seed of a woman who will right the wrongs, who will take back the kingdom, who will crush the head of the serpent. We're told that in Genesis chapter 3. And then by the time we get to Genesis chapter 12, we see a little more details on how that's going to come about. It's going to come about through Abram. We pick up on that in the Abrahamic covenant that God was going to bless all the nations through the seed of Abram. Although Abraham at that point was 75 years old and childless. He remained childless for another 10 years. Decided to take measures into his own hand, and he goes into his wife's handmaiden by the name of Hagar. He has a son by the name of Ishmael. God comes to Abram and said, this isn't the promised son. The promised son is going to come through your wife Sarah. Abraham and Sarah both laugh at that. But nonetheless, although those chances were probably zero that Sarah was actually past the age of childbearing, it happened exactly like God said. 1 year from now, I will come here and you will have a son. And they named the son Isaac, which ironically enough means laughter. Maybe it just reminded her that she should never laugh at the promises of God because they are sure as the events that happened yesterday. Well, with the course of time, you know, Abraham decides to take a wife. He's real selective in choosing a wife for his son Isaac, and he sends this servant to the land of his fathers, to the land of his brothers. Nahor had some sons, and he took Rebekah, which was Laban's brother. So we were introduced to him a couple of chapters back. He took Rebekah, and Isaac loved Rebekah. Although she was barren, she had been barren for several years, Isaac prayed and the Lord opened her womb and she has twins, Esau and Jacob. And then the Lord gave that promise that the elder shall serve the younger. And it seemed a little difficult at the time to really grasp that. But then as the boys grew, you saw that really Esau could care less about the promises of God. He quickly dismissed his birthright and gave it away to Jacob for a bowl of stew. You know, and despite his parents pleading, it seems like he just took Canaanite wives, multiple wives, but not Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah had told Jacob to go to my brother's house, Laban. Go to Laban, Padan Aram, go to Padan Aram, to my brother's Laban house and choose a wife from there. Now that's one of the reasons he went there. The other reason he went there is because his brother Esau was trying to kill him. But he's over in Padan Aram in the house of Laban when all this starts to unfold that we're getting into today. And as he's going over there, we actually see the Abrahamic covenant being echoed to him. It was given to Abraham. It was echoed to Isaac. And we see it reaffirmed in chapter 28 to Jacob. The same promises that were given to Abraham were given to him. Now, this isn't that the Abrahamic covenant is being transferred. It's actually being fulfilled. That's what we see. And so, Jacob goes there with his uncle. He meets Rebekah. I'm sorry, he meets Rachel. And he wants to marry Rachel. And he tells, you know, he'll work 7 years for her. And he serves Laban 7 years for Rachel. On the wedding night, Laban swaps the two daughters. He gives him Leah instead of Rachel. The next morning, Jacob's a little upset, as he should have been, and he realizes that he had married the wrong sister. And so Laban says, no worries, I'll give you the other one also, just stay and work another 7 years. So he stayed and he worked those 7 years, and it's at the end of those 7 years where we get to in our passage today. It's at the end of that whole 14 years of service to Laban where we're at today. And as I was reading this, it kept coming to mind. I'm sure you've heard the saying when you're flipping a coin, you heard, heads I win, tails you lose. And what that's meant to imply is that regardless of the circumstances, I win. And we'll see this today. In this deal that is struck between Laban and Jacob, regardless of the circumstances, God is working for Jacob. God had promised to be with Jacob, and He's working for Jacob here. We're actually told almost this in verbatim in the next chapter. In chapter 31, verse 8, it says this, "And he said," referring to Laban, "the spotted shall be your wages. Then all the flock bore spotted. Heads I win. And if he said, the stripes shall be your wages. Then all the flock bore striped. Tails you lose." Even though Laban used his deceitfulness to create an advantage, the one thing Jacob has that Laban doesn't is Jacob has God on his side. The sovereign God of the universe was on Jacob's side. And we'll see this as this chapter unfolds, that regardless of what Laban does, Jacob seems to prosper. Heads I win, tails you lose. That's the title of this message. And we'll see God working for Jacob. So I'll read the remaining part of this chapter. We'll start in verse 25. Now again, this is at the end of the 14 years. This is at the end of the 7 he worked for Rachel, and then the other 7 he worked for Rachel. So at the end of 14 years, she had borne him her only son at this point, named Joseph. And as soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I've given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. But the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later, when you come and look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs that they found with me, it shall be counted as stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places, where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks. And so the flocks brought forth striped, spotted, and speckled. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the stripe, and all the black of the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. Before the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So we see as soon as Rachel had born Joseph, her only child, be the 11th son that Jacob had had here in this 7-year period. As soon as she had borne him Joseph, he said, "Send me away." He had served 14 years. And he had began to see some of these promises that we read about in chapter 28 being fulfilled. God had told him in chapter 28, you know, that's where Todd preached that message on Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven, that was it. In chapter 28, verse 15, God had said, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. And we see in the next chapter, Jacob says this very thing in chapter 31, verse 3. The God of my father has been with me. God said he would be with me, and God has been with me. Jacob saw that. God said my offspring would be many. Chapter 28. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. I've had 11 sons and one daughter in 7 years. God had begun to fulfill his promise to multiply him. God also said he would bring me back to this land. He told him in chapter 28, verse 15, I will bring you back to this land. So after Jacob had fulfilled his service to Laban of 14 years, he determined to go back to his home country. And that's what he says in verse 25. Let me go back to my own home and my own country. You see, the Lord had promised to give this to Jacob. That's why he refers to it as my own home and my country. That's why Jacob refers to it that way. So as he decides he's going to leave, he asks for his wives, my children, for whom I have served you, that I may go, because you know the service I've given to you. I've upheld my end of the bargain. Despite your trickery and the way you cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, you know I've served you, Laban. So let me go. And then you see Laban quickly in verse 27 tries to put the brakes on this whole thing. He says in verse 27, if I found favor in your sight, which is probably just buttering him up. That's usually what an inferior says to a superior. Trust me, Laban didn't feel like he was inferior to Jacob. This was just some kind of flattery, just a form of flattery. If I found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. I've learned by divination. It's possible that Laban practiced divination. It is possible that we know that Laban had idols and that he worshipped these idols as gods. We'll see this in chapter 31 again, because he actually goes to Jacob and accuses Jacob of stealing his gods. Why did you steal my gods? So he had idols. He worshipped these idols as gods, and it's likely that he did practice divination. But it seems Jacob just peels right into this in verse 29, basically saying, you don't need divination. Just open your eyes. You didn't have hardly anything before I got here, but now you've been blessed abundantly. You didn't need divination to tell you that. Pay attention. It could be translated this way. It could be translated as, I have learned by experience. This word is used of someone who observes the signs. Laban could be saying, I have been paying attention, and I notice that I've been blessed because of you, Jacob. You see, the results of God's hand being on Jacob and Laban benefiting from this was obvious. Again, you had little before I came. It has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. Actually, if you got an ESV, the footnote has an alternate translation here, and it says, I have become rich because of you. Now we're getting to the heart of it. That's what Laban's saying. Whoa. If I found favor in your sight, just stay with me. Stay with me. I become rich because of you. I become rich because of you, because the Lord has blessed you. Please stay. See, Laban didn't want Jacob to leave, not because Laban loves Jacob's company, and not because he would miss his daughters. Laban didn't want Jacob to leave because he was blessed because of Jacob. That's why Laban wants him to stay. He'd become rich because of Jacob. He prospered through Jacob. So he says, please stay. You know, it actually has that in the New American Standard. The NIV and the NET actually have that phrase in there. Don't leave. Please stay. I've become rich because of you. It made me think back on the episode with Rachel and Leah in chapter 29. You know, when Jacob goes and he asks for Rachel, He doesn't want Leah because her eyes were weak, whatever that means. He didn't want her. He wanted to work 7 years for her. And at that point, Laban said nothing about, and Jacob West brought this up, Laban said nothing about the custom of our country to give the older before I give away my younger. He said nothing about that. So he serves 7 years, and Laban tosses Leah on him. Now, it's possible at times when you read that, you do feel a little bit sympathetic for Laban. You know, he's just simply doing what's best for his daughter Leah. That was a custom of their country. He's just doing what's best for Leah. He wouldn't want her to remain without a husband. But it was Laban's idea, if you read it, to give him Rachel too. He said, I will give you Rachel also in return for another 7 years of service. So that was Laban's idea. You work seven more years, I'll give you the one you actually wanted to start with, the one you actually worked for to start with. Laban really didn't care about the custom of his country. He simply wanted Jacob to serve him another 7 years because he had become rich because of Jacob. His daughters were simply tools he used to gain wealth. I think that's what we come to there. And there are parents today who will exploit their children for money. Hollywood's full of it. And I'm not talking about someone who has a true talent and the parents just give them the stage. I'm talking about parents who actually encourage their kids to take these revealing photos or whatever just so they'll gain a following and money. It's out there. Parents who exploit their children for gain. And that's what Laban's doing. He exploited his daughters so that Jacob would stay and serve another 7 years so he could gain more wealth. Because he had little before Jacob got there. But now he's increasing abundantly. And it's all because God is with you, Jacob. This is greed. Laban is a greedy man. And the word greed, the root of the word greed there, means always hungry for more. Never satisfied. More money, more attention, more, 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 more. And greed is always self-centered. Laban is a self-centered man. He even knows that Jacob wanted to leave. Jacob longed to go back home. He knows that. You have gone away because you've longed greatly for your father's house. I know what's best for you, Jacob. But what's best for me is you stay and serve me another 7 years. What's best for me is you stay. What do you want? Name your wages. I'll pay it. Just stay. Please stay. It reminded me the way Laban could care less about the welfare of Jacob or Jacob's desires or even what was best for him in his faith meant nothing to Laban. Laban wanted him there for gain. Reminded me of Acts 16, if you want to turn there. Acts 16, we'll start in verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul. It says, they were going, in Acts 16, verse 16, as they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hopes of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. They basically brought them in and they beat them because they cast this demon out of this girl. They were more content with her being enslaved or possessed by this demon because they were profiting off of it. That's greed. This girl is in such a better place now, but I can't make any money off of her like this. That's what Laban's saying. Just stay. Please stay. Tell me what I can do. Tell me what you want. And as Jacob back in Genesis, Jacob is saying he wants to leave. Laban is basically saying, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Just tell me what you want Name your wages, name your price. What Laban is thinking is, I got you to work 14 years for my two daughters. What else do I have that I can exploit you with? Surely I have something else you want. Verses 29 and 30. Jacob is going to draw attention to the increase that Laban has enjoyed from his service. Jacob said to him, "You yourself know that I served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now when shall I provide for my own household, for my own family?" Laban has to be thinking, I know. I have become rich because of you. The Lord has blessed me because of you. But it was still hard work for Jacob. You know, there's no indication that this was easy. It was still a lot of hard work. It was hot during the day. It was cold at night. And he couldn't sleep. He says those very things. Whatever was lost or stolen or torn by a wild beast, he paid for out of his own pocket because Laban demanded that. So he draws his attention. You know how well you've done it. And it's almost like Laban just shuts him up in verse 31. Okay. What shall I give you? Enough. I know I've been blessed because of you. God's been with you. But what shall I give you to stay? What shall I give you? In that language that is used in verses 28 and 30, because he says this twice, what should I give you? It's a little bit misleading. Because Laban doesn't give anybody anything. He actually says, if you remember, when he was giving his daughter Rachel, he said, "I will give you her for serving me another 7 years. I'm not giving her to you. Slave away for 7 more years. Where's the gift in that? The gift that keeps giving, I guess. Jacob knows full well this isn't a gift, and he will have to serve Laban for his wages. That's why Jacob says, "Don't give me anything, I will work for it. You shall not give me anything, but if you'll do this, I will again pasture your flock. Don't give me anything, I'll work for it." Verses 32 and 34, Jacob tells him what he wants. "Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted as stolen." Laban says, Good. Let it be as you've said. So Jacob wants the spotted and speckled and every black lamb. If you made me guess why he asked for that, I think Jacob knew the dishonesty of Laban, and he had to have some way of distinguishing his livestock from Laban's. Otherwise, Laban would have laid claim to something that was rightfully Jacob's. "So I'll take the spotted, I'll take the speckled. You see them, they're mine. I won't have any pure in mine, and you won't have any speckled in yours." He knew, I guess, if Laban would switch daughters on Jacob, you know full well he would have switched livestock on them. So he asked for the spotted and speckled. These were less valuable, and they were extremely rare. Sometimes the rare means value, but not in this case. The pure white sheep and the black goats were common, and they were more desirable. So what Jacob asked for was rare, and it wasn't something that anybody really wanted. It didn't have a high value to it. So Jacob says, "You know, I'm going to go through the flock. I will pass through the flock and remove all these speckled and spotted, and these will be my wages." That's what he says clearly. Laban says, Good, you idiot." That's what he's thinking. What a dummy. You know, this is my son-in-law, and here he is making such a poor, poor deal. Verse 35. "But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of the sons. and he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. But that day, Laban went ahead of Jacob. Laban done this very thing and took him and sent him a 3 day journey away from Jacob. These were Jacob's wages. Jacob said, I'll pass through this. These will be my wages. Okay, sounds good to me. He goes to there. He sorts through it. He takes the spotted and speckled. And it actually says, anyone that had white on it. Anyone that had white on it would be his wages. He's very thorough. Everyone that had white on it, even if it appeared remotely spotted or speckled, Laban took it. Laban took it and sent it in the care of his sons. Now again, this is Laban's sons, because Jacob's sons would be far too young. The oldest, Reuben, at this case, would only be 7 years old at that point. So these shall be my wages. And he took every one of them. Laban took every one of them. So Jacob basically started with zero spotted and speckled. Zero spotted and speckled. And sheep and goats usually would give birth once a year, maybe sometimes two times every 3 years. So if it's rare to start with and you start with zero, it will take you a lengthy period of time to accumulate enough livestock to live off of. That's going to force Jacob to remain with Laban even longer. Again, he's thorough. Every spotted, every speckled, every one that had any white on it, he took. And he sent them under the care of his son, 3 days away, in order to prevent any type of crossbreeding. There would be no way that the spotted or speckled would make their way into his pure flock and generate more spotted and speckled. They were separated by 3 days, and Jacob had none to start with. 3 day journey under the watchful eye of his sons, eliminating the chance of crossbreeding. This was a move by Laban to eliminate any chance of Jacob having success. No speckled, no spotted, near or in his flock. The most promising mating combinations gone, Jacob felt cheated. And that's why he says, your father's cheated me, changed my wages 10 times. But God had promised to be with Jacob. The sovereign God of the universe, again, was on Jacob's side. Man's wisdom will never trump God's plan and God's promise. If you want to read Jeremiah 42, 43, we see that. We've been going over that here over the last couple of weeks. Man's wisdom never trumps God's plan or promise. And then when we get to verse 37, we see what is referred to as a custom of the day or a cultural theory. It's just the way they, what they saw and what they thought as they bred these sheep. So Jacob, he sees that he didn't have any spotted and speckled and striped. They were all gone. They were 3 days away under the care of Laban's son. And he takes these sticks and he peels them. So they look striped. That was his goal. And as they were coming to water, they would breed when they would water. And then he would put these sticks in front of them. And it was the thought that as they looked at whatever they looked at, it would cause them to have striped and spotted and speckled sheep. That was the thought. That was the superstition. That was the cultural method of the day. But it was, again, nothing more than superstition used to increase his flock. And he would actually only show the stripe in front of the strong sheep. The strong male sheep, that way he had the strong, and when the weak would breed, he would remove the sticks, so Laban's, in theory, through his superstitious methods here, would end up having the weaker of the flock. That was the end game. And Scripture does inform us that Jacob used these superstitious methods. That can't be denied. But Scripture is crystal clear that the results of this belong to God. Crystal, crystal clear. I just want you to look in the next chapter. I don't mean to get too much in Jacob West's chapter, but chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. I see him shaking his head. This is what he says. Verses 8. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all this, the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the stripe shall be your wages, then all the flock bore stripe. Thus, God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. It was God who did this. It had nothing to do with these magic sticks. In no way did these poplar sticks enhance this or bring this about. Again, these aren't magical sticks. I can only wonder if Kenneth Copeland could get his hands on these, would he sell them? I would imagine he would. But as Jacob increases and Laban decreases, notice Laban's character. Again, chapter 31. Jacob, you ain't got to cover 31 next week. We're getting it all right here. This is how Laban saw this whole thing. Chapter 31, verse 43. This is Laban talking to Jacob. The daughters are my daughters. No, they're not. They're Jacob's wives. And the children are my children. No, they're not. They're sons and daughters of Jacob. And the flocks are my flocks. No, they're not. And all that you see is mine. That's how Laban saw this. Mine, mine, mine. Laban had little when Jacob came there. Then he became rich because of Jacob. And now that God has taken those riches and given them to Jacob, he's throwing a hissy fit. Mine, mine, mine. So as we finish this last little section here, don't read this section and come to the conclusion that God is teaching some type of reproductive theory. Instead, read this and see that if God is for us, who can stand against us? Laban had done everything imaginable, removing all the stripes, removing all the spotted, and any livestock that had any white on it, he removed, reducing Jacob's chance of having a flock large enough to sustain his family, his large family. The chances or percentages that Jacob would have a strong, abundant flock were slim to none. But God doesn't do percentages. If God says it, there's a 100% chance it will come to pass. 100%. A 90-year-old woman past the age of childbearing, giving birth. Chances slim to none. The sun standing still for an entire day. 0% chance. A man by the name of Peter walking on water. 0% chance. A virgin conceiving and bearing a child. 0% chance. You see, but the Lord declared it, so these things came to pass 100%. God had promised to be with Jacob, and he's with Jacob 100% of the time. Even when things don't look like they're going Jacob's way, God is still with him. Still with him to prosper him. So, in that case, take your percentages and give me God. Trust in God, not percentages. You know, it's just easy as we go through this life to see things that have a high likelihood of working out or a low likelihood of working out. It doesn't matter. A high likelihood of, well, that may not. If God says it is true, just hang on to that with all your might because it is 100% true. If you would, please stand.